God is good. And we will forever rejoice in his name. Hallelujah. I want to teach for some time and then we pray. All right, so there's so much noise in the air. Hallelujah. All right, that's fine. We want to continue with our teaching on Christian maturity. Last week we ended on the doctrine of Christ. Remember, as part of our recap in dealing with Christian maturity, we said there are three beams of maturity. The first beam of maturity is doctrinal maturity. The second beam of maturity is ministry maturity. And the third beam of maturity is character maturity. So if we want to identify a Christian who is maturing or is matured, these are the three elements we dig out of the life of that Christian. We need to see his maturity first in doctrine, his knowledge of God, his understanding of God, and truths about Christianity. The second thing we identify is his priesthood in intelligence, or what we call ministry maturity, how he understands ministry, the work of God, the service of God. And the third thing is in character maturity. So maturity is not just in your prayer life, your ability to understand scriptures, but also revealed in your character. What you do in your actions is a revelation of maturity. Are you following this? So we began to look under the doctrine of beam of maturity, which deals with doctrine or doctrinal maturity. We began to look at 8 most important doctrines in the Christian faith, which means that if you are able to understand or grasp these 8 doctrines of the Christian faith, you are good to go and you will not be easily deceived. Are you following this? We said the first most important doctrine of the faith is what? The doctrine of God is the first foundation. Number 2 is the doctrine of man and sin. Number 3 is the doctrine of Christ. Number 4 is the doctrine of salvation. Now, are you studying the process? Do you realize that the Bible tells us in the beginning what? God. Which means that the doctrine of God is the first and most important, because that was the first revelation we received about anything called God. That is how come the doctrine of God is very necessary, because it is out of the doctrine of God that man came into the scene. So after the doctrine of God, we come to the doctrine of man. So when man came into being, what happened to man? Sin came. That's why we are studying the doctrine of sin. And when sin came, who came next? Christ. He came to die through the work of salvation. That is why we are dealing with the fourth doctrine called the doctrine of salvation. Please, are you seeing that? So what we are doing is following a very chronological Bible understanding. So God was the first revelation. That's why we need to study the doctrine of God, because without understanding the doctrine of God, we can't understand anything about redemption or salvation. Are we following this? So the next that follows was the doctrine of man, because it was God that created man. The next that follows is the doctrine of sin, because it was man that fell into sin. And what follows is the doctrine of Christ, because Christ came to save man from sin. So now, in the doctrine of God, we began to look at the God-manhood of Christ, right? About his person. Now, in the doctrine of salvation, we are now looking at his work. So the doctrine of Christ mainly deals with the person of Christ. The doctrine of salvation mainly deals with the work of Christ. Are we following that? So what we call the doctrine of salvation is also called soteriology, because that's the Greek word for it. Soteriology. S-O-T-E-R-I-O-L-O-G-Y. Soteriology. The Greek word for salvation is soteria. Soteria. S-O-T-E-R-I-O-L-O-G-Y. R-I-A. So now we're looking at the doctrine of salvation. What is salvation? Salvation, like we said, is from the Greek word soteria, where we have soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation. Soteria in Greek means deliverance. That's number one. Please, these are very vital things we're sharing with you, so please make sure you note something down that will help you understand, because you can never remember everything we're teaching you. Number two, it means to preserve or preservation. Number three, it means restoration. Number four, it means soundness. Number five, it means to rescue. And number six, it means safety. Soteriology or soteria means deliverance, preservation, restoration, soundness, rescue, and safety. So to explain salvation, salvation is deliverance from sin, death, evil, and suffering. Salvation is deliverance from sin, death, evil, and suffering. You're going to learn a lot this morning. Number two, salvation is God's plan to rescue man from sin and its penalty. Salvation is God's plan to rescue man from sin and its penalty. Salvation is God's plan to rescue man from sin and its penalty. Salvation is also the work of God in Christ in bringing man in union with himself. I'll repeat that again. Don't say, the man is going too fast. I'm right again. Right. Force yourself. It is the work of God in Christ in bringing man in union with himself. You just need to have the understanding. It's not just about defining it. It is the work of God, which is accomplished in Christ, in bringing man into union with himself. So you just need the understanding. So it is a work that God did, and he did that work in Christ. And the purpose of doing that work was to bring man back into union with himself, because man was separated. Are you following this? So that is the basic understanding of salvation. The work of God done in Christ to bring man into union with himself. Are you following this? Now, we also want to define further or explain further salvation. Salvation is the total work of God. I'm giving you multifaceted explanations of salvation so that you get what it truly means. Because today people are saying salvation, people are defining salvation in very absurd ways. It is a total work of God by which he seeks to rescue man. The total work of God by which he seeks to rescue man from ruin. Ruin means destruction. From doom. And from the power of sin. Today I have time for you. Don't worry. I'll say it. If I have to say it 10 times, I'll say it. The total work of God. Now, note that word, total work of God. By which he seeks to rescue man from ruin, doom, and the power of sin. Now, continue. And bestows upon him the wealth of his grace. And bestows upon him the wealth of his grace, encompassing eternal life, and bestows upon him the wealth of his grace, which encompasses or encompassing eternal life, provision for abundant life now and eternal glory. So let me say the whole thing again for the last time. Salvation is the total work of God by which he seeks to rescue man from ruin, doom, and the power of sin, and bestows upon him the wealth of his grace, encompassing eternal life, provision for abundant life now, and eternal glory. So when we are speaking of salvation, we are not just talking about how Jesus received or took your sins. We are also talking of what he also placed upon you. He took something from you and placed something upon you. Are you following this? He took your sin and gave you his grace, his blessings, his eternal glory and eternal life. Please, are you following this? So in salvation, we are talking of what Christ did in taking your sin and what he did in blessing you with eternal life. Are we following this? Now, the word soteria is from the Greek word soter, S-O-T-E-R, soter. So it is out of soter we have soteria. And the word soter means a savior. This is very interesting. Just follow. So soteria is derived from the word soter, which means what? Savior. What we are trying to say is that there can be no salvation without a savior. The reason why there is anything called salvation is because there is a savior behind that salvation. So salvation is simply the great work of a great savior. So what we are trying to say is that it is someone's work that saves a person. It is someone's work that saves a person. So for there to be a save, for there to be salvation, there must be a. So what we are trying to say is that we can't talk about salvation, soteria, without talking about the savior, the soter. So salvation and the savior moves together. They identify together. Please, are you following that? So now look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, the verse 10 to man of God, please come forward. Bring him here. You're here with your wife? Oh. Okay, so Pastor Moses, please come here. No. It's okay. Okay. So good. So please come here. Let's appreciate the man of God and his wife. Come along. You're welcome. Hallelujah. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the verse 10, now let's read that together. Let's read as though we are in the stadium shouting. 1, 2, go. Are you following that? Jesus is what? The savior of all men. So we can't talk about salvation without talking of the savior that procured it. Are we following that? So in conclusion, salvation, I write that down. Salvation is God's work in Christ of making the total person well. Salvation is God's work in Christ of making the total person well. When we are speaking of total person, we are speaking of spirit, soul, and body. Now, I saved the best for the last. Salvation is God's work in Christ of making what? The total person well. And the reason why we have to save this is because we need to understand salvation from three perspectives. The damage of sin, or the consequence of sin, or the fatality of sin affected man's spirit, soul, and body. Remember that man is a spirit. His spirit was created first in God. And God breathed into the body of Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So man is a complete tripartite being. He's a spirit, he has a soul, and lives in body, right? So when sin came, the first part of man that was damaged was his spirit. His spirit was separated from God. That is what we call spiritual death. Are we following this? His soul, which is a makeup of his what? Mind, will, and emotion, was now corrupted and darkened. And his body became mortal. Please, are you following that? So that was the damage of sin's work in the man's life. His spirit separated from God. His soul was darkened and kept on being darkened. And his body became what? Mortal. So in the work of salvation, what do you think God is targeting? The same spirit, soul, body. So just like it took a process, which part of man corrupted first? His spirit. With time, his soul was corrupted, and with time he experienced what? Mortality. It is the same thing. That's how come the salvation we have, we've not experienced the totality yet, but we have the first and most important: new creation, your spirit. The process through which man's soul went to get darkened is the same process you go to get enlightened. By the word of God. So there is darkness in your soul that the word of God keeps confronting day by day as you walk with God through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's also a work of salvation. Then your body will be glorified in the return of Christ. Are you following this? So salvation is actually dealing with the totality of man's well-being. Did you get that? So quickly, we want to go into the concept of salvation. What it entails. There are some things you need to understand about salvation. There are some facts you need to understand about salvation. I'm trying to make it very simple so that every lay person can understand. The concept of salvation. If you don't understand these concepts of salvation, your understanding of salvation will affect your walk with God. Are you ready for this? Now, the first thing you need to understand about salvation is that salvation is the key theme of the scriptures and Christianity. That's number one. Number one, salvation is the key theme of the scriptures and Christianity. So what we are trying to say is that the Bible is the plan of God to save. I know there are other subject matters in scriptures, but we are saying the theme of the Bible and Christianity is what? Salvation. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the verse 15, he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus." Which means that if you take a deep study in scriptures, by this we mean Genesis to Malachi, you will note that the key theme you identify is salvation. God's plan to save man. Right from the story of Adam and Eve, when man messed up, look at how God took off the fig leaves, used the skin of an animal to cover him. It was all communicating salvation. Noah's ark was communicating salvation. There was going to be a flood, judgment. The only way a man can be saved and safe in that time was when he entered the ark. Christ is the ark. The only way a man can be truly safe and saved is when he enters into Christ. If any man be in Christ. Israel was in captivity, slavery to sin, under the influence and power of Satan, the god of this world. God sent a savior, Jesus, like Moses was sent as a deliverer. So Moses bringing Israel out of captivity was a type of Jesus bringing man out of spiritual captivity and servitude to sin. Are you following this thing? So the whole Bible is God's plan of salvation. That is why we said the first concept you need to understand is that salvation is the key theme of scriptures and Christianity. That's number one. Number two, Salvation is God's wisdom, plan, initiative, promise, and purpose. This is very interesting. Salvation is God's wisdom, God's plan, God's initiative, God's promise, and God's purpose. Come with me to the book of Jonah, chapter 2, the verse 9. Jonah 2, 9. Look, Jonah 2, 9. He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Can we read the last verse? 1, 2, go. Salvation is... So if God didn't have a plan to save, you couldn't be saved. So to a large extent, it was not your faith that saved you. It was grace that saved you, and grace saved you through faith. So we are not saved by faith. We are saved by grace through faith. So faith was only an instrument to get your response to something God did for you without your permission. So if God chose to save you without discussing it with you and without considering your actions, whatever makes you think that your action can terminate it? You know, the way I preach about sin with passion, that's why I preach about grace with passion. Please, are you following this thing? When God planned salvation, he didn't get you involved to discuss with you, son, how should we go about it? He did everything by himself, with himself, planned everything. Your action was not involved. God was not saying, I'm going to wait. When I see that he's becoming a good boy, and I'll send the spirit of salvation. He didn't do that. Irrespective of your action, he planned to save you. That tells us that irrespective of our salvation, when a man receives that salvation, he can't terminate it. Please, are you following this thing? You see, the reason why it is important to understand salvation is that if you are not having security in salvation, you will never be stable in your Christian walk. Any day you are afraid of losing heaven, you are afraid of losing God, you are afraid that you go to hell, it means there is something wrong with your understanding of Christianity. Even in your house, you can sleep well when you know your house is locked. In your Christian faith, you can rest well when you know your security in Christ is secured. Imagine you wake up in the morning, hey, will I make heaven? Hey, will I be saved? It's going to affect your prayer life. It's going to affect your giving life. It's going to affect everything that is about your Christian walk. So, this concept is very important to understand that salvation is God's wisdom. That's why that wisdom is foolishness to men. It is God's initiative. It was God that planned to save, not man's idea. So man's work cannot thwart it, in as much as man's work can limit it. It can't thwart it. So your actions cannot change God's plan. That doesn't mean your actions don't matter. Please, are you following this thing? So hear me when I'm teaching. I will tell you the truth as it's supposed to be told. There are pastors who are afraid when they tell people so much about what they have, the grace of God they have in Christ, maybe they'll abuse it. I preach about sin here. So when I'm preaching grace, I preach the understanding of salvation the way the Bible has put it. Please, are we following this thing? So it is very important to understand that salvation plan came from God, not from you. Salvation wisdom came from God, not from you. Salvation promise came from God, not from you. Salvation initiative came from God and not from you. Let's get into some few scriptures. Look with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, the verse 4 and 5. 1 Timothy 2, 4 and 5. He says, come to the verse 3 so that you understand the full thing. He says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Look at the verse 4. Who what? will have all men to be saved. So where is the will coming from? From God. Come again with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, the verse 4. Ephesians 1, the verse 4. Are we there? Let's read together. 1, 2, go. According as he has chosen us in him, I can't hear you, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, question, who did the choosing? So, you see, to a large extent, you didn't choose Jesus. He chose you. I made a decision on the 24th of August. It was because he made a decision. That's why you could make a decision. In other words, without his decision, your decision is futile. It's useless. I'm teaching good here. Jesus said, "You did not appoint me, but I appointed you." John 15. That means I chose you. Now, look again with me to the book of, the same chapter 1, the verse 5. Look at the verse 5. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Having, look at that. Having what? Who did the predestination? To predestinate means to destine before time. Pre, before. Destinate. Predestination. That means it was Jesus, God, that planned destined before time what you have. Are you following this thing at all? Now he says, he having predestined us unto what? Adoption. So God planned to adopt you into his family before time and before your decision. Adoption of children by who? Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of so whose pleasure accomplished it? Whose will accomplished it? Now look again with me to the verse 9. This is very interesting. What we are dealing with here is a serious matter here. So when you are in the office and people are telling you, asking you about salvation, this is the understanding you're supposed to give to the people. An average Christian will be a Christian for 15 years and they're asking about salvation. He says, we all will not know whether we are saved until Jesus himself comes to come and tell us. Ba-boom. You don't believe the average Christian does not understand salvation. Nobody will know if you say, how can you know if you are saved? Hey! 50-50. Please, are we following this thing? Now look at the verse 9 again. He says, having made known the mystery of his will, according to who? His good pleasure, which he purposed where? In himself. So he purposed this thing called salvation in himself. Look at the verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, he says, in whom also we have obtained what? An inheritance, being what? Predestinated, the verse 11, according to the purpose of him that what? Worked, how many things? All things after the counsel of his. This scripture is in your face. It's in your face. You can't deny it. So you can never boast. Made it happen. No. Now look at the verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after ye heard of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after ye believed, ye were sealed with the spirit of promise. which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What the Bible is telling us is that everything God did was so that it will glorify him. So Nami save you, not the Ajay fans, so that he will be celebrated for what he has done. So you see, salvation is for God's celebration. He planned everything. Are you following me? Is someone getting some understanding here? All right, let's move to number three. Salvation is the work of God. Or you can put this, salvation is the absolute and total work of God. So when we say salvation is the work of God, we are saying that man's works did not contribute to it. Inasmuch as your work is necessary after salvation, your work never brought salvation. Salvation is 100% God. Write that down. So salvation is not 50% God, 50% man. Because even the faith with which you used to believe, it was God that helped you to believe. Because the Bible says no one called Jesus Lord except by the Spirit. So the day you said Jesus is my Lord, you were aided. Thank you, Jesus. So it's very important to know that if man will be saved, he has to be saved solely and without merit. If man will be saved, he has to be saved by God solely. If man will be saved, he has to be solely saved by God and without human merit. So the day your confidence of going to heaven is because you give tithe, for your life not to be tithe, or you do some good work, or because from Monday to Friday you have not seen. You know, sometimes when you go to church and say they are taking communion, they say, anybody, if you know you have seen, don't come to the table. And those who didn't see from Monday to Friday, they have the confidence, and they are watching those who are seated down. But therefore, I don't know where we learned this thing from. They say, if you have seen, don't come to the communion table. Meanwhile, the first group of people who took the communion were sinners. The disciples of Jesus. Tell them, we have some doctrines. Oh. So now the people who in the 1 week they didn't do anything, they are confident. They are watching those. So those who did something this morning, everybody sitting. So anybody that is sitting, we know where you are coming from. We know. See, that is not Christianity, I'm telling you. That is not Christianity. My former church, my father's church, is the same. He said, if you have sinned, don't come. So when you come, you eat a curse from Jesus. So that day you see half of the church seated and half is taking communion. What kind of life is this? You think God's plan is to embarrass people? No, you'll be shocked that even Jesus took the communion and went to betray him. Listen, the communion, it is to celebrate Jesus, not to celebrate your sins. Go and check it. He says you eat this in remembrance of me, not remembrance of your sins. So the communion does not celebrate you. You are not even part of the equation. It's a celebration of Christ. In fact, the purpose of the communion, which is the body and blood of Jesus that was broken, was for sin. So in fact, it is when you are messed up that you need the communion. Because it is in the understanding of how broken Jesus was that made you whole. That is when you even actually need the communion more. Because it will remind you of the man that delivered you from that sin you think you can't come out of. When you eat it, there's a new revelation that comes to your spirit, man. So many Christians are living in condemnation. because they didn't understand the concept of salvation. By the time we are done with the doctrine of salvation, you understand what, when we talk of eternal security, you understand it, that if we are the body of Christ, then God cannot amputate his body part. If we are the family of God, God cannot disown his own children. If we are the wife of Christ, and God said, I hate divorce. He's not ready to divorce you. I'm telling you, listen, if you are truly born again, you are beyond the reach of hell. That's the truth. If people are not happy, if religious people are not happy hearing me say this, so be it. Hallelujah. So we say salvation is the work of God. And if man is supposed to be saved, he must be saved solely by God without human merit. Now look, what we are trying to say is that just as dead men can't rise by themselves, so can no one save himself. This is a very important point to note now. Just as dead men cannot rise by themselves, so can no sinner save himself. Even Jesus was raised by the Holy Ghost. From the dead. So no dead man can rise up by himself. He has to be rise up through the agency of another. Another power higher than him. Listen, the resurrection of Jesus is a message to us. He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, telling man that in our dead situation in sin, it is only a higher power that can bring resurrection and life to us. So your resurrection is explained in one box, that you can never save yourself. You are saved because someone saved you, and the person did the work to save you. So salvation is whose work? God's work. 100% God. Please, am I teaching good here? You have to go back and go and listen to this message again. Number four. Salvation is not man giving his life to Christ. Rather, it is Christ giving his life for us. This is a very important concept you need to understand about salvation. Salvation is not man giving his life to Christ, but rather it is Christ giving his life for man. I gave my life to Christ on 24th November. Question, did you have a life? Because you were dead in sin and trespasses, according to Ephesians 1, 2, the verse 1. You were dead in sins and trespasses. So which life did you give to him? Listen, you can only give your life to Christ when you are alive in Christ. Look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. Only Christians can give their life to Christ. No sinner can give his life to Christ. Check it. Because the life you give to Christ is the life he gave you. You can only give your life to Christ when you are born again. So giving your life to Christ is after salvation, not for salvation. Look, he says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave what? Their own lives to the Lord. So you did not give your life to Christ. Christ gave his life to you. Now look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Are you there? Are you sure you are there? All right, let me check out something. I'll get back to you soon. All right, let's quickly go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 15. Come to the verse 14 first. Look at the verse. Now he says, "For the love of Christ constrained us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then what? All were dead." Next verse. He says, "And that he died for how many? For all, that they which should live, now that they are alive in Christ, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but live unto him." So this is the process of giving your life to Christ. It is when you receive the life of Christ that you can give that life he gave you back to him in service. In Galatians 2:20, now look at that. This is very interesting. Galatians 2:20. He says, "For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." So you don't even live. You didn't have life. You don't live. So you can't give your life to Christ's salvation. You don't live. "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and did what? Gave himself for me." This is very interesting. This is not supposed to be deep. This is not a deep message. This is basic. This is basic Christianity. Is it clear? Now, come with me to number five. Christianity stands or falls on the truth of salvation. Christianity stands or falls on the truth of salvation. What distinguishes Christianity from every other religion is the message of salvation. I'm telling you, apart from the message of salvation being that Christ died for us that we can receive life, anything Christians do, other religions do, they build church auditoriums like we do. They have pulpits like we do. They have instruments like we do. They have AC like we do. They help the poor like we do. Are you following this thing? The only thing that distinguishes Christianity from every other religion is the message we have, which is the message of salvation. So hear me, Christianity stands or falls on salvation. That is why if a church does not emphasize, does not teach Christians who saved them, how they were saved, and in whom they are saved, that church will be weak as far as their faith is concerned. Can we move on? Number six. Salvation is founded on Christ's finished work and not on our good works. Salvation is founded on Christ's finished work and not on our good works. Now, what we are trying to say is that salvation will stand only in God's grace and mercy. Salvation will stand only in God's grace and mercy. The reason why we are talking of salvation is because of God's grace and mercy. And that is what salvation stands in. So when we talk of salvation, man's work is zero. Because even your faith was sponsored. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, the verse 1 to 4. When you go home, go and read the scriptures. It will bless you. I love the word of God. Ephesians chapter 2. Now look, he says the verse 1. "And you had he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins." Look at the verse 2. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." That means you were controlled by Satan, your former master. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Listen, you may see a calm unbeliever, but there's a spirit operating in him. Once a man is not obedient to the gospel, he's not born again, there's another spirit working in him. He may be cool, he may be good, there's another spirit working in him. That's what scripture says. Look, he says the verse 3, among whom also we all had our manner of life, or our behavior, or our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature what? Children of wrath, even as others. Look at the verse 4. Can we read together loudly? 1, 2, go. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved us. So we said salvation will stand only by God's grace and mercy. God, who is rich in mercy. So it is the riches of God's mercy that gave you what you are calling salvation today. Not the riches of your good works. Number 7. Getting interesting. Your understanding of salvation affects your entire Christian walk. Very interesting. Your understanding of salvation affects your entire Christian walk. In other words, a poor understanding of salvation will lead to a poor understanding of Christian living. A poor understanding of salvation will lead to a poor quality of Christian living. So your Christian experience stands on your understanding of salvation experience. Anything you are calling Christianity today, evangelism, you will be effective in evangelism because you understand salvation. You will serve God better because of your understanding. Because listen, if your understanding of salvation is poor, you will say you will not be part of church workers again because you're offended. Because things will happen that will make you grievous. But your understanding of the one who saved you is what keeps you moving. Did you hear what I'm saying? Now, so your understanding of Christian living, prayer, service, is all founded on your understanding of salvation. If Jesus paid this price for me, there's no price that is too expensive. You guys are too, you are too powerless to make me so offended. No, you are too powerless. Understanding. Tell somebody understanding. If you don't have a revelation, even how you relate to Christian brothers and Christian sisters, revelation. Number 8. Salvation, this is a very interesting one, is not attained or achieved. Salvation is received. Salvation is not attained or achieved. Rather, it is received. So you can never attain salvation. You can never achieve salvation. You can only receive salvation. Why? Because it's a gift. Ephesians chapter 2, the verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Now, this is a very interesting concept of salvation. What the Bible is telling us that is that grace made salvation available. That means grace is the hand that gives salvation. But that hand that gives must what? Another hand must take it. The hand that takes it is what? Faith. So if grace did not make salvation available, faith could not receive it. So your faith is useless without the grace of God providing salvation. So he says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of, oh my goodness, not of yourselves, because you are coming to church, because you are giving well, because you didn't do anything bad. Wrong. It is there. This class is dead. It is there. Can you shout it louder? It is there. One more time. It is there. Gift of God. So salvation is God's gift to man. You can achieve it. You can attain it. You can receive it. Look at the next verse. He says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Me. Minya bonio. Huh? If you check the works of the flesh, the works of the flesh, everybody there inside. That's why when he finished, he says, those who practice such things, he didn't say they will not go to heaven. He said they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Big difference. So, see, engaging and involving yourself in the work of the flesh doesn't make you lose your salvation. It makes you lose your reward. Go and read your Bible. He says, those who practice such things will not inherit. He never said they will not go to heaven. Because even the pastor preaching, he's part of the works of the flesh. Oh, check it. Now, come with me to Galatians chapter 5, the verse 19. Let's look at something here. Look, he says, now the works of the flesh. That means if you yield yourself to your flesh, these are the manifestations that will come. Occasionally, we all yield to the flesh. Please, are you following this thing? Occasionally, we all what? Yield to the flesh. Including me. Now, look, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are what? Adultery. So he says, I'm clean. All right, let's continue. Fornication. Let's continue. Uncleanness. Now, uncleanness is in two dimensions. Now. Uncleanness is in two dimensions. One is uncleanness in the soul. Pornography is uncleanness. So someone said, I've not committed fornication. You are unclean. You have corrupted and defiled your soul. Phone sex is uncleanness. Exchanging nude pictures is uncleanness. What? Watching lewd videos is because you are keeping the soul impure. The second phase of uncleanness is when you don't bath. You don't. People didn't know that uncleanness is work of the flesh. That thing that makes you not bath, that laziness, is a work of the flesh. You don't wash your boxer. Your balls, the balls you have left, that the worms have now become snakes, they have matured into snakehood. It's a work. It's a work of the flesh. I didn't know when I was studying. I said, hey, Obiabe Komo. Nobody can boast. How many of you bath at night? Lift up your hands and let me see. Both married and unmarried. Tell a Satan bathing twice. Even your pastor can't suffer. It's a sausage, I'm telling you. Sometimes it's because of work and some rounds. That's why we bath. I know I'm speaking your heart now, I understand. Please, are we following this thing? So this one, anybody who thinks he's self-righteous, when we bring you here, you fail. You go fail. I'm telling you. So uncleanness.
Can we move on?
Lasciviousness. Now give me another version so you understand lasciviousness. It is the tendency to think that grace is license. That thought is a work of the flesh. Anytime your flesh tells you, oh, but at least God will forgive me, let me do it. That thought you are having is a work of the flesh. It's the flesh making you say that. And it's also a sinful thing. Look, so it says the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impure thoughts, lustful pleasures. That is lewdness. Come back to NLT and let's move. Okay, let's move with NLT. Next verse. It says what? Idolatry. Anything you exalt in your heart above God is idol worship. In the New Testament, many Christians think they are free from idol worship. You are lying to yourself. We are still warned three times. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we are warned. He says, flee from idolatry. 1 John 5, 21, he says, little children, flee from idols. If you read NLT, he says, keep your heart away, or keep away from anything that takes the place of God in your heart. So an idol is anything that replaces God in your heart. So many of you have built shrines out of your phones, build shrines out of Netflix, build shrines out of your television sets, build shrines out of your relationships, build shrines out of your friendships. Many of you don't know. You fall here in the work of the flesh. Now look at the next one. It says what? Sorcery. Abasem. And this one, listen, see, people think that flying is the only thing which is witchcraft is. There are blind witches. Flying is the final stage. This one is a message, oh. Causing discord, disunity among the brethren are all symptoms of witchcraft. I'm telling you. Causing confusion everywhere you go. Saying this about this, saying this about this, saying this about this, saying this about this. Hey, run away from me! It's witchcraft. I'm telling you. You don't need to fly. Envy is a kind of witchcraft. See, check witches. It began from there. They're just not happy when people are successful. They are not happy when people are driving. They are not happy when people are holding new phones. They are not happy when people get educational opportunities abroad. They are not happy when people are getting married. They are not happy when people give birth. They are not happy when people smile. They are not happy about everything. It's a sign of witchcraft. Listen, if you don't cure yourself of that, then you can be a blind witch and Satan will use you to destroy so many things. I'm telling you. Sometimes you have to fight it with all your might. When everything in you doesn't want to rejoice at the best of people, rebuke it. I told you 3 years ago of when one of my close pastor friends, God started blessing him mightily. Someone just bought a 4x4 for him from nowhere. He showed me the pictures, everything in me, because at that I was using a lunchbox. That car wasn't a car. The children in my area, when they see me passing, then without shirt, oh, money scan so. Oh, me see, shoe. Shoe. Because of the shape of the car, it's like a shoe. It's true. But it's painful to hear it. Praise. Listen, something in me wanted to get. I said, how did he get the car? We are all using normal cars. What track of V6? That's what the thing was telling me in my mind. And I came to my senses. Listen, learn to come to your senses. Oh, I'm telling you, don't meditate on it for long. It will kill you. Immediately, I said, this is not Christianity. I am happy for him. Father, thank you for what you have done for him. I bless you for his life. You know what I did to kill it? I sent him the first fuel money. I said, I want to sow the first fuel in this your car. And today God gave me 2 cars in less than a year. Envy is not good though. I'm telling you the truth. One of our members heard what I said, and some few days later, his roommate got an iPhone when he was not having an iPhone, and he was almost getting jealous because they were all in the struggling association. Then he remembered what I said. Then he said, Father, I thank you for his life. I want to be the first to buy credit on his phone. And he bought credit for the guy. Less than a week, his brother sent him an iPhone from Nigeria. Hey, Charlie, this thing they work, oh. This thing they work. Listen, be happy for people. I know what I'm saying. Be happy for people. If you are happy at the testimonies of others, it's a sign yours is close. You will never have what you don't celebrate in the lives of others. You will never have what you don't celebrate in the life of others. No matter who you are, people will be more beautiful than you. People will be more shapier than you. People will be more richer than you. So you need to have that. You see, me right now, I've locked my mind. I'm not the richest. Neither am I the poorest. God is helping me. I eat at least the food I want to eat by the grace of God, like I eat it. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? So I know I'm not the most handsome. So when I see someone who's handsome, it doesn't worry me. Some of you, you have given yourself a certain class that nobody should cross it. You are giving yourself pressure. Pressure for that thing. Someone builds a 3-bedroom house. You are living in single room. Everybody sleeps in single room. I hope you are aware. Does your leg sleep in room, ma'am, and your stomach sleeps in room two? Charlie, if you don't convince yourself, you see, the brothers of Joseph, Joseph had a dream. Eh? He was a star, big star, and they were all stars bowing to him. They forgot that they were stars, so they envied that one star. If you envy others, you will never identify who you are. I'm telling you, there was a race that was done in South Africa. And the guy that came second, they were analyzing why he became second. And you won't believe it. Because the guy is actually faster than the guy who won. But what happened was that he saw the guy so much as a competitor that anytime he's swimming, he lifts his eyes to check how far the guy is going. So anytime he turns, he slows down by 5 seconds. So by the time he turned the last one, the guy had finished the race. That's how he became second. If you keep watching others, you won't watch yourself. I know what I'm saying. If you keep focusing on what is happening in the lives of others, you will never focus on what God is doing in your life. I know I've healed someone's heart today. That was just by the way. Let's move on. He says that hostility, you know, you're unfriendly. Unfriendliness is a work of the flesh. Yes. You are not hospitable. Hey, so the day someone will come that, Chale, me yam wow, and you have the means, Chale, we have to learn to be hospitable. Because pressure did the system inside. You don't understand this thing. Sure, Nipa here, Nipa. Even Ghana government has taken a loan. whatever. So one day, home betrayal. Even the world's riches. See, all the rich men, go and check it. They have all taken loans. Every rich man is owing someone. But they are walking freely. Don't kill yourself. That's it. Don't kill yourself. Be nice to people. You don't know who you meet. Oh. Have you ever entered someone's house and there were three people having a chat and you passed by them to go look for another person in the compound? And when you went, the guy's gate was locked and your phone is switched off. You see that you lose the anointing to go and greet them back. Because at that time, the three guys said they are talking, but they are just watching you. Oh, dear. Your mistake. Your mistake, Nabra. So you just come to the door, you just watch them and you walk back out. Tell somebody, be nice to people. Because listen, you may see, some of you don't know that. That security man that you ignored may be the boss's best friend. Listen, eh? I'm telling you, respect people, greet people, be nice to people. It's a very good thing because you don't know where your help will come from. That person you are rude to, you may need him some few seconds away. I knew of a rich person who bastardized everybody until one day he collapsed in his car. It was a poor man that took him to the hospital. A poor man that took him to the hospital. You won't lose anything when you are nice to people. I'm teaching good here. So he says, quarreling. And talk quack. Listen, if you are married and you fight with your wife every day, it's a work of the flesh. What I wanted to say, this one, the way you are looking at me, you not like this one. If you are dating and every day that dating is a fight, the day will never end for you to seal it with a fight. Check that relationship. It will never go anywhere. Because whatever you are doing in courtship, it will multiply in marriage. So if you don't find a way to cut that quarreling, I saw Mr. Woku, he checked out, he said, it's true. It's right. Mr. Woku said, yeah, it's right. It can be, see, you can fight until now, the fight is not in your blood. If you have not fought, something must happen. Yes, it can become chronic. I know what I'm saying. You see, let me tell you free advice in relationship. One person must be a fool. But you know, you have to learn to bury certain things. Learn to just overlook certain things. I'm telling you, because if you are too critical on everything, massa, you will always fight. Please, are you following this? The way you are watching me, let's continue. He says selfish ambition, dissension, division. Look at all these are words of the flesh. What pastors are doing today in ministry? We are three very close pastor friends. Three very close pastor friends. I'll mention the rest of the two. Just for favor, one other pastor who is almost a little close to the man went to spoil this. He said bad things about the person that the man doesn't like you. He envies you. And because this man of God knew who our other brother is, he didn't buy into it. And later we got to find out the truth. A pastor, I didn't know, yes, sir. I'm telling you the truth. He says dissension, division. Look at the next verse. 21, quickly. He says envy, drunkenness. Let me stay here a little. He says sometimes you think you want to skip it, but you'll be shocked. The Christians that drink alcohol in church, Christians that drink alcohol, they said it's 3%, it's 4%, it's 5%, it doesn't boost. Yeah, at least even Paul said Timothy should take alcohol to heal his ulcer. Master, who ulcer? Who ulcer? And are you Timothy? Oprah Onsan Anum. You Timothy film. He said what? Drunkenness. Look at that. He said what? Wild parties. So they are parties and they are what? Wild parties. The Bible on him, they are level by on him, seven by the boy, into the Bible Nimu, or say wild parties. Sickly tele, tetele, sickly. Hey, now Corista, Obubunimu say, you are sorry. Wait until I'm finished. You can't be sorry at this moment. How can you be sorry? Christians, wild parties. Tell you, there are parties going on. See, Ghana, you people don't know anything because Muniska. So you don't know anything that is going on. There are some nightclubs. When you go there, you put your phone down. No pictures, no videos allowed because the things going on there is serious. Someone said, Pastor, how do you know? Please don't ask me that question. I don't know how I knew. Because that place, the kind of things going on. See, Ghana, you people don't know. You put a holy. Things going on. There are people, in fact, some of these celebrities, Shatta Wale and the rest, there are some places in Osu. When they go there, you not less than 30,000 you spend. I'm told you can spend like 100,000 on a table, one table, a group table. 100,000. Shit, every Friday. Hey, red label, black label, green label. He said wild parties. There are some parties when you attend, you never be the same again. Me personally, I don't like parties. I'm not saying don't do parties, don't do birthday parties or whatever. Me, I don't like parties personally, so it has saved me. Praise God. But wild parties, attending wild parties as a Christian can destroy you. You know the purpose of the party, but you went. Hey, make you keep your travel. Because I love your soul. I love your soul. There are some places as a Christian you're not supposed to be found there. What are you doing there? Come to your senses, so you're not supposed to be here. All things are lawful for us, but not all things are expedient. Do you know when you spark your car, the speed limit is from 0 to about 180? Have you checked it? But do you use all the 180? Why? Because your life is at stake. So God is not saying, when you see the speed limit, you are free to use to speed up to 180, but your life. So the fact that you have an insurance on your car does not mean you should crash your car for the money. Because there's some crashing you will crash, you will never rise up again. I'm teaching you this. Look, he says, and other sins like this, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living in that sort of life will not what? He didn't say you will not go to heaven. I've seen pastors say, when you do this, you go to hell. Meanwhile, the pastor talking, he's found one thing in one of them. I mean, one of them, but I won't tell you. He says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So there is an inheritance in God's kingdom, you will never have it. These are the rewards. I'm teaching good here. Can I tell you something? Forgiveness is one of the easiest things God can do for you. One of the easiest things. You go and mess up, Father, I'm sorry. Boom, it's done. In fact, it was done before you did it. It is one of the easiest things that God can do for you. But can I shock you? When it comes to God's purposes for your life, elevating you, committing into your trust treasures of glory that will announce you to the world, that one doesn't come with ease. No. So most of you will ask forgiveness of sins over and over. He will forgive you 289,000 times. But as far as God's plans and purposes are concerned, He will never entrust you, because He can't trust you. Because if God gave you a congregation of 200 and you have slept with 50, if He gives you 2,000, work the equation. 500, beko. You see, that's how it works. So there are some people, as far as God's purpose is concerned, they will never go anywhere in God's kingdom. God will never use them in certain dimensions, because if you can't survive in Ghana, you can't survive in South Africa. So forgiveness is the easiest. But God entrusting you, there are some level of financial authority God will never put into your hands. There are some level of anointings. You will never walk in it. You'll be anointed, but you'll never walk in certain dimensions. I found this out from scriptures. I'm telling you, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Open your Bible and check it for yourself. Yeah, I want to go far. He says, in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of what? Gold and what? Silver. Some are made of what? Wood and clay. In the same house, the expensive utensils are used for what? Special occasions. And the cheap ones are used for what? Everyday use. Next verse. Or see, if you keep yourself what? Pure, you will be what? A special utensil for what? Honorable use. So listen, God will use everyone, but the dosage of the usage is relative. He says your life will be clean and you'll be ready for the master to use you for what? Every good work. My goodness. I heard of a pastor friend, when a lady came to tell her about the last issue that she had, within 1 month, he has fired the girl. He took advantage of the lady's vulnerability. And this guy has a church. Hey! He has a church. So God will use everyone. But the dosage, the level of the usage, it is very relative. So, going back to God forgiveness 7 times, it's not a big deal for God. But your rewards are at stake. The plans God has for you are at stake. The commitments and entrustments of God are at stake. That one, it comes with a price. It comes with faithfulness. It comes with commitment. It comes with devotion. It comes with staying away. It comes from making yourself worthy for God to put something upon your life. Let me tell you something. People don't just rise. I know what I'm saying. People are aided by spirits. These rich people like Bill Gates, you see, they are spirits aiding them for an agenda. Because they've been devoted in a certain way to those spirits that they are servicing. So people don't just rise in God's kingdom. No. Check your Bible well. Check David. God saw his faithfulness in the wilderness, even with sheep, animals. And God said, listen, if this guy is faithful with sheep, he'll be faithful with the lost sheep of Israel. If he could risk his life killing a bear and a lion for animals, he will risk his life for my nation. That's why God chose him. So nothing happens by chance. God can put a grace on you that people are doing the same things you are doing, but yours is unique. It's because there's something special upon it. Please, are you following what I'm saying? Oh, I don't even know why I'm here. So, where were we? Ephesians 2:8-9, right? All right, so let me close here. Next week we continue. Are you blessed?